In reunion season, a lot of empty seats here, but I want to ask you all to make sure you pay attention today. My wife and I, as we were talking the other day, we talked about the fact that, you know, the Lord knows everyone who's going to be here present in a service, and He prepares messages for a certain purpose. And so I truly feel that's the way it is today, that there's a message that my uncle here has. And He knows that every one of you are going to be here, and there's something that He's prepared for each of you. And so I'd ask that you give Him an opportunity to give it to you, to deliver that message, and the Lord to work upon your heart. So I give you my Uncle Jim Yates.
I'm going to start off this morning with a definition from Webster's Dictionary. I'm going to read his definition of pollute: to make unclean, impure, or corrupt, or desecrate, defile, contaminate, or dirty. And as we go through this sermon this morning, you're going to see where that fits, one of those words somewhere along the way. There's a lot of different kinds of pollution, and I'm going to cover several of them this morning. I'd like to start out with oil spills. A few years ago, we had a bad oil spill in Gulf of Alaska when the tanker Exxon Valdez hit a rock. And it did untold damage to the pristine coastline of Alaska. And I heard the other day that there are still places there that they haven't got cleaned up, still a mess from that spill. But it couldn't hold a candle to the BP spill just a year or so ago on the East Coast. They spilled somewhere around 205 million gallons of oil before they got it capped off. And that impacted the fishing, commercial fishing, shrimpers, motels along the beach, all lost millions of dollars besides all the oil that has gone up into the areas for the wildlife and what have you. Industrial waste is also abundant in our country. I know of a place where there is an Alcoa aluminum factory on the bank of the river. And from the chemical waste that they have dumped into the river, it has killed the earthworms back 10 feet in the bank. And you can't eat the fish because the fish that are in that river and around that area are all covered with sores. And if you follow that river down approximately 500 miles where it gets close to the ocean, they have a lot of beluga whales come in there. And the last year or so, they have found a lot of them are dying. And they wonder why. And the scientists take those dead whales and check them out. And they found out that they are dying from mercury that they had absorbed in their bodies in that same river. So that same river for over 500 miles or thereabouts is pretty well polluted. Also, I have seen on TV a time or two where there are canals and rivers so polluted that you can take the film from your cameras and dip it in there, and you got a picture. We bury atomic waste that's going to pollute the land long after all of us are long gone, thousands of years. We not only have water pollution from these chemicals that these companies dump in the water, but from the farmers, because of the pesticides that they used and the fertilizers that they put on their fields, seeps down and gets into the water table. Someplace down the line, we want to drink it, and it's unfit. We have air pollution from some industrial plants that they don't have what they call scrubbers in their chimneys when they dump the smoke or whatever else out from their factories. And it causes what they call acid rain. Gets the trees, the crops, the fields, the grass, they all die. And some scientists or people who are supposed to know that kind of business say that some of it we even get as from as far away as China. The winds aloft have brought it over the ocean. And here in Arizona, we have bad dust storms sometimes in the summertime that pollutes the air that we breathe. All kinds of pollution out there. And just recently I saw on the news that our West Coast is about to be polluted by millions of tons of debris from the earthquake and the tsunami that was in Japan just a year ago or so. And just yesterday, the day before, I saw on the news a 66-foot-long piece of dock that come clear across the ocean and come up on the West Coast beach from that in Japan. It's getting here. I recall years ago as my brother Don and I went from Brownsville to Tampico. Barbed wire fence along the road. You couldn't see the barbed wire for plastic bags hanging on that fence. As far as you could see, both ways. Plastic fence, not a barbed wire fence. Sometime this last week, I saw on the news also that the salmon in Alaska are contaminated, polluted from the atomic waste that was lost in that atomic plant from the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan. It just spreads like a cancer. But I want to talk about a different kind of pollution. It's caused by this book right here. It says Holy Bible on the front of it. But that book right there, has 6,098 words less than the authorized King James Version. Think about that for a minute. Makes one wonder just exactly what was left out of that book. What they were thinking about when they came up with a new version of the Bible. Could it be something like words that we needed to read and know about? You bet. Did it leave out important words in that 60,000? Yes, it did. A lot of words, but I'm thinking of just one. And it's used in the King James Version 51 times. It's used in the Book of Mormon 24 times. So it must be an important word. Anybody got an idea what it might be? It's one word. Doctrine. You won't find it there. Every place that there was doctrine in the King James Version, they took this out and put in teaching or teach. Well, you know, one of the dictionaries I was using says that doctrine is a dogma. So I wondered what a dogma was. So I looked that up. And it says that a dogma is unchangeable. Who has the right to change the doctrine of Christ? In Deuteronomy, 4th chapter, 2nd verse. 4th chapter, 2nd verse. Ye shall not add unto a word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now, when they left out those 64,000 some odd words, they had to have read those verses. And so I wonder what they thought. What they thought it meant. And in Revelations, it's a little bit stronger. Revelations 22, 18 and 19. Revelations 18 and 19. 22nd chapter. For I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if ye shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from which these things which the book was written. I wonder if these so-called scholars that wrote that book ever even stopped to think about that when they read that. Evidently not, because they come out with that anyway. Now, every place that doctrine was, they replaced with teach. Well, you can teach anything you want if it says teach. But if the word is doctrine, you can't. Because it's written that God is unchangeable. Now, these people that decided to change all of this are supposed to be scholars. Some of them even were preachers. But then they decided, evidently, that to teach the people what they wanted to hear rather than what the scriptures say. And if they don't teach the people what they want to hear, they can't draw their paycheck. They get fired. After all, things have changed. You don't have to repent and be baptized anymore. That's all nonsense now. Just believe and you're saved. And when the end comes and things get rough, you're going to be taking part in the rapture. And no problem. Everything will be okay. I'd like to go to the Book of Mormon, page 708. Page 708, I'm going to start with the 37th verse. Yea, it shall come in the day when you shall hear of fires and tempests and vapors of smoke in foreign lands. We definitely hear that, don't we, about Syria every day on the news. And there shall also be heard of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in divers places. Yea, it shall come in a day when there are great pollutions upon the face of the earth. And there shall be murderers and robbings and lyings and deceivings and whoredoms and all manners of abominations. When there shall be many saved, do this or do that, and it mattereth not, for the Lord shall uphold such in the last day. But woe unto such, for they are in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. Yea, it shall come in a day when the churches shall be built up, and they shall say, come unto me, and for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins. O ye wicked and perverse and stiff-necked people, why have ye built up your churches unto yourselves to get gain? Why have you transfigured the holy word of God that ye might bring damnation upon your souls? Behold, look ye unto the revelations of God, for behold, the time cometh at the day when all things must be fulfilled. 47th verse. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. 49th verse. And your churches, yea, every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. O ye pollutions, 51st verse. Ye hypocrites, ye teachers, who sell yourselves for that which will canker. Why have you polluted the holy church of God? Indeed, there are many great pollutions upon the face of the earth, and in the churches there is. A man by the name of Dr. Henry Morris wrote this here that I'm going to read about the book called New Age Bible Versions. This is a version of the New Age book. An outstanding work. The author has certainly done an amazing job of research. It is hard to believe that one person could do all this research. I certainly appreciate this book, and it is indeed quite remarkable. Now, that might make sense till I read what's coming now. I want to read now about the man that is the author of these New Age Bibles. There are 14 different versions of that Bible. Each one of them has left out that 60-some thousand words. And words that have been substituted. Dr. Frank Logsdon, co-founder of the New American Standard Version, he says, "I am in trouble with the Lord. We laid the groundwork. I wrote the format. I helped interview some of the translators. I sat with the translators. I wrote the preface. I'm in trouble. I can't refute these arguments. It's wrong. Terrible wrong. It's frightening wrong. And what am I going to do about it? When questions first reached me, I was quite offended. I used to laugh with others. However, in attempting to answer, I began to sense something was not right about the New American Standard Version. I could no longer ignore the criticisms I am hearing, and I refute them. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive that we do not suspect Satan's deception in all of this? Good question, isn't it? But it's a little late. They should have thought about it before they wrote it. Upon investigation, I wrote my very dear friend, Mr. Lockman, explaining that I was forced to renounce any attachment to the New Standard Version. The product is grievous to my heart and helps to complicate matters in already troublous times. I don't want anything to do with it. The finest leaders that we have today haven't gone into it The New Version uses a corrupted Greek text. Just as I hadn't gone into it, that's how easily one can be deceived. I'm going to talk to him, Dr. George Sweetening, president of Moody Bible Institute, about these things. You can say that the authorized King James Version is absolutely correct. How correct? 100%. I believe the Spirit of God led those translators of the authorized version. If you must stand against everyone else, stand. That for which was nearly 1,500 years imposed on Christendom as a book, of which every word was written under the direct supervision of the Holy Ghost, of which not one syllable, one comma, could be changed without sacrilege, is now being retranslated, revised, and corrupted, and clipped of whole verses, in some cases, whole chapters. Now we know where that 64,098 words went, in the trash can. Now this man says he did wrong, and he wants to know what to do about it. I would think that he better do some repenting to God for what he's done. It's a good thing that he recognized that he did wrong, but look at the damage that he done to the Christian people with false information and understanding. We are fortunate, by the grace of God, that we haven't been polluted like others. Thankful we have more than one source to find our information. The Bible and the Book of Mormon, King James Version. To study from so that we get the truth, and not from a polluted and watered-down version. I say again that there are many pollutions that are around us in this world today that are affecting far more important things than the environment that we live in on the earth today. It's our spiritual environment. Our souls are being bombarded with pollutions that have great impact upon our spiritual well-being, such as the foul language we hear wherever we go. Some of the music that you hear, the shows that are broadcasted on TV and the movie theaters that promotes homosexual behavior. Seven states now have okayed it and said it's all right for same-sex marriage. And I saw on the news the other night that they're going to go back and bring some comic book heroes that haven't seen lately back. But one of them, they've got to make him gay for the children to read. our young people and some of the not so young are polluting their bodies with drugs and alcohol. Tattoos, piercings. You see some of these people, their whole face has got one on the eyebrows, one on the nose, one on the cheek, one on the lip, one on the chin. They open up their mouth, they got one on their tongue. All against the law of God. If you don't believe it, get the King James Version and look it up. You won't find it here. But the people are polluting their bodies with drugs and alcohol. But while they're destroying their bodies, they're destroying their souls. These things are not okay. This is not the way the Lord wants us to live. There is a better way. We know that there is a straight and narrow path that the teachings of Christ lead us to. We know that God is only a prayer away whenever we are in trouble and in need and worried or just confused. We know that we can get on our knees and ask for forgiveness and for help to overcome the temptations that bombard us daily. We have witnessed many times the power of prayer. We must remember the commitment we made at our baptism to always follow His commandments. He is there to reach out His hand in love and compassion to lift our hearts once again and get us on the right path. We must always remember to pray, to study the Scriptures, to know God's Word and know His purpose for us. We can only be sure of salvation if we endure to the end and perform the works that God requires of us in our time of probation. If you haven't already made that commission to the Lord, that commitment, better think about it. Time is running out. We are in the 11th hour, and no one knows when this day may be our last here on earth. We have a song in the Red Book. Never alone. And no matter how many times discouraged we sink beside the way, about us all is darkness. We hardly think to pray. When through the mist and shadows the sweetest voice e'er heard says, "Child, am I not with thee? Never to leave thee alone." He promised never to leave us alone. So all we have to do is to reach out our hand. He's right there. He always is there. It's up to us. We can follow the world and let the debris or the pollutions that's in it take us and pull us down. Or we can reach out to God, follow his teachings or his doctrine and walk that straight and narrow path, hold on to that rod of iron and endure to the end. May God keep us in his loving, compassionate arms. That's my prayer. And for a closing song, I would like to have used 336. Thank you.